This is the Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting procedures. Taney County Planning Commission regular meeting is held for final approval on each Division III application presented at the previous Monday's public hearing and to hear new concept requests to be presented at next month's public hearing. Final votes will be heard first. Each project will be reviewed and decided upon by the commission. There are no sign-up sheets at this meeting, as no additional public comments are taken unless expressly requested by the chairman or the commission. If you do not accept the decision of this commission, you may appeal to the Board of Adjustment. Applications for the Board of Adjustment are available in the planning office. Concepts will be heard following the final votes. If you are presenting a concept at this meeting, your name or the name of your project will be called. At that time, please come forward and address the commission. Your proposal will be heard, and additional documentation may be requested for the public hearing next month. No public comment will be heard at this meeting with the exception of the applicant or persons with information requested by the commission. You may leave after your case has been heard.
Okay, thank you very much. First item on the agenda is approval of the minutes of August 9th and 16th. Assuming again that you have reviewed those minutes, would entertain a motion to approve the minutes from those two dates.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Okay. Is there a second?
I second that.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes of August 9th and 16th. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Let's move on to the final vote part of our considerations for tonight. First item up is Sunset Hills lot split. And the representative is there. Again, remember that this is,
let me get back to my
records here, that the purpose of this is splitting off a business.
Right. A lot now.
Yeah, so Mr. So you can just kind of stay seated because it's our time to carry on conversation. But stay close, because we may have questions for you again. What are you doing, Eddie?
I don't think he knows.
I don't know. That's why I said, give me a few minutes, and you said, let's start early.
It's the news, okay?
I'm working on getting to where I might can have something.
You could have at least pulled up fog.
Well, and one of the things on the news tonight is that the recession was over in June of 2009.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to point that out to you.
According to who? According to who?
CBS News and Katie Couric.
Just not those that are unemployed.
So are we waiting for you to come
unless up? You need something, you just move right on ahead.
Okay, well, let me see if I can find my notes.
You know those little things that we pull up that show what we're talking about? That'd be nice to have up there.
You're supposed to have already seen all of those.
Yes.
I have seen them.
Do you not remember them?
So this is Mr. Ivan West.
It's really for Ray.
And he is asking to split off, and the size of the lot, if I remember, is less than 1 acre, or the entire property is 1 acre. Is that?
I don't know.
Just a
moment.
Okay. It's 0.7 acre.
Okay.
The whole property is I believe, like she says, 0.7 acre. It is on centralized sewer system. So the requirement that Taney County would have would be, as long as adequate parking and everything is met, that the lot be 8,000 square feet with 70 foot of frontage. The site plan given to us does meet all those requirements. This business has been in operation for quite some time. As you remember, this is down Highway 165 in the Hollister area, down to where the TV station used to be there, and then you take a left and go to the end of that road. Concern was raised at that particular time, had dealt with the big trucks coming in and out of there, the condition of the road, not being a private road, and then of course the applicant stated that he was the one that normally maintained that road and cared for that. He also does live in the house behind where this being split.
Just clarify something: whether or not it's split or not, the semis would still come. I mean, they're coming now, right?
Yes.
So it's one way. They're going to come one way or the other because of your business there.
The business is already approved to have to be there. Eddie?
Pre-existing, before planning and zoning. Yes, sir.
Okay.
There was a concern about the well water. Is there the well going to be divided up into different percentages, or what's going to change there, if any? Sir?
Well, you say I put the well in.
Mr. Westby, you know, maybe now you could come forward.
She's so confusing, isn't she?
You may take two baby steps forward. Okay.
I put the well in about 23 years ago, and since that time I've been dividing it up as the houses have been coming in. In 07, I spent $5,000 or better to put in a new pressure pump and a large storage tank so we'd have room, you know, plenty of water up there for everybody. And yes, if we do split this off, there'd be another division. I see right now there's got to stop and think. There's four of us on the well.
Are they equal partners in that well?
Yes.
So they will agree to splitting their share up again?
Well,
should make their expenses less.
Yeah, but they'll may have less pressure. There may be
no. It's everything. It's there. Nothing like that will change.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
We don't
but
use that
sells,
much water.
If he sells his business, then he sells that part. Is that going to change?
That business was not for sale, sir.
Well, if he sells that business and they do anything else besides what they do there, they'd have to come back to us, right? Eddie, since it's pre-existing.
If a new business goes into that place, yes, sir, it should require Division 3 because the original
grandfathering?
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. That would have changed and it would be going away. I'm sorry, I'm not concentrating on that right now, so.
Okay, any other questions? Entertain a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve it.
Okay, is there a second? Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve Mr. West's request for the lot split. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? There you are, Mr. West. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is a representative here from Frylates Motors now? Okay, so we'll postpone that.
And that's the one I have.
Moving along to Mr. Ossoff and the vacation cabin. Again, coming in as a special use request for predominantly nightly rental. Okay. Okay. Unique situation because you have a facility that was built primarily as a vacation property with multiple units in it, at least two, as you described it, yeah. So the intent of the purpose for which it was built as a vacation facility. That's very good. Okay, discussion, questions.
Was it built for guests? Johnny Morris built that. Was it not built for his guests? I mean, he wasn't renting it out nightly. It was
probably
his managers or great aunts or whatever. They were his personal guests.
I think that's probably true.
Okay.
Madam Chairman, I don't know how we can approve this and have any regulations on nightly rental. If we open this up, anybody can come in here and get approval for a house to have a nightly rental in it, looks to me like. We've always required commercial establishments to have somebody in charge. Our request here is to rent this over the internet with nobody on site.
So it's not a bed and breakfast.
It's not a bed and breakfast. It's not compatible with the area. It's in a residential area. And I understand the gentleman wants to make a little money out of this house that he can't sell, and I can sympathize with him on that. But at the same time, if we approve this, we as well forget about all our regulations on nightly rental, it's to me like. And I can't support it.
What are we doing Bob Mabe's house down there that last
denied
year?
Denied it.
We denied it.
Because that was exactly what he was doing.
Yeah.
His son was doing. Mm-hmm. Putting it over the internet.
Well, and we've got a bunch of those.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it, would you say, Eddie?
Yes, sir. Hundreds.
The fact of the matter is,
it's going to happen.
Our area, where it is. People want to be here. Thankfully, they want to come here and vacation. And there are a lot of people that are doing that that, for lack of a better way to put it, haven't got caught yet. You know, and I don't disagree with what you're saying, Ray. I think there are some times when it makes sense, but, you know, we need to do something about all those. And if we're going to just say, nope, you can't do it, period, then maybe that's what needs to be done. But I'm not sure that's the answer either. Because there are some places where it might make sense.
If we're going to approve this, I think we just will quit trying to regulate nightly rental because it doesn't meet our requirements on commercial. Now, the only difference in this, it's a commercial operation. It's just the fact that it can't be transferred from this owner to the next. A commercial operation could be transferred.
Right.
But it's still a commercial operation. And I think we need to decide if we want to open this county up for residential areas just to let anyone who wants to rent a room out to be able to rent it out. And in this case, they don't even have to be on hand. I don't know who's going to clean it from one day to the next. I mean, he mentioned a guide that would kind of see after it if he wanted him to, a fishing guide. But it looks to me like somebody needs to be on hand to change the linen. And,
well, I'm sure there are services that would be more than happy
to do that. Well, you could do that. Yeah. But that hadn't been mentioned.
I spent the afternoon with the mayor of Branson, and she said that Branson has just recently dealt with this particular issue, and they have held firm to the fact that nightly rentals in residential neighborhoods are not to be allowed.
Yeah, they passed an ordinance to deny all of them. Now, how many they got a cheating? I don't know. I'll think.
Well, and I guess that's
out there.
Yeah, that's part of my point. Is we, you know, if we're going to go that route, we need to deal with that. I think on a regulatory level. Somehow,
a couple of things here, if I might. I had a little bit of this discussion with Mr. Edwards and Randall before you guys got here. Special use will always come to you as a residential piece of property. It will always come that way. And we, with our bed and breakfast, we require that the proprietor live on site and be an owner. I mean, it has some specifics there. But in other situations, to say it's commercial use, that's exactly why they're here, because it is a commercial use. I'll reference you to the snowpop fellow that was here. That's exactly what he's doing with his home. He doesn't have customers come to the home, but it is a commercial use. He's manufacturing there. And with the paper that I've given you, you know, the fact of the matter is, if it's going to come to you as a special use, it's going to come to you as a residence. With special use, you have the right to put additional stipulations on there. If they can be met, fine. If they can't be met, then the approval would go away. But if we're just, and I'll go to Branson real quick. Branson disallowed in I believe their R1 district. But if you'll go look at Branson's R1 district, the reason they did that because they don't have hardly any what they call single-family residential districts at all. I mean, it's very, very minimal in what they have. So they do allow this in residential areas, just not in what they would term to be just totally single-family residential. So, you know, without understanding all their zoning districts and everything, you know, I think we need to temper that just a little bit. My whole concern about this is this. Normally we hear different things from the residents around. You know, there's too much noise. There's, you know, this changes the complexion of the neighborhood because of the noise and the people that are vacationing and because of the traffic and the ability to get around and everything like that. And if that's the issues we're trying to accomplish, you know, to get those settled out and then to say it would be okay, then you really need to consider this particular piece of property. If that's not the only issues that we have to deal with, then perhaps we need to really consider if we're going to have nightly rentals, or if we just start telling people, sorry, it's just not allowed in Taney County. So we would have to remove this section really from our code book or anything. Is what I'm trying to say. Whether it's good or bad or not, I can't speak to. Do I want it in my neighborhood? depending on how it was handled, you know. And then there's covenants that we don't enforce.
But I think that Mr. Edwards' concern, again, is precedent-setting, like how do you turn anybody else down
right.
after you have granted this special request?
And, which I go back to, can they deal with the issues? I mean, what are the real issues? Is it safety? Or is it just because it's a commercial business in a residential area, which we're calling special use, which we do now? Mm-hmm. It's a different kind of commercial, but it's if you're going to use the word commercial, it's commercial.
Does the length of rental make any difference?
If it's more than 30 days, doesn't need anything from us. Anything less than 30 days is defined as nightly rental.
So what about weekly rental?
Still nightly.
Weekly rental is transient rental. They have to collect sales tax. It's considered a commercial use.
Okay.
Anything 30 days or more is not subject to sales tax and is not a commercial use.
Personally, I don't, if we need to change our code to completely eliminate it from residential areas, I'd be in favor of it. I'm just not for opening up residential areas for anyone to set up a nightly rental in it, because I don't think it's appropriate for a residential area.
Well, either that or make the conditions so strict, you know, that somebody was really going to have to want to do it too and meet the conditions.
And that's what I'm saying. Is it a matter of issues that need to be overcome, or is it a matter that it's just looked at as a commercial operation in the residential area? Because each one of these would come to you individually, and you would have the right to place upon that whatever restrictions or additional restrictions under special use that you deem are necessary. Again, if we don't want to have it, I'm okay with that. If we're going to have it in our code book, though, surely somebody, somewhere down the line, we've got to have in our mind, it can fit somewhere.
Yeah, it's criteria.
So we just need to decide, you know, what's the criteria here. If there's just some criteria to overcome, then that's what, and basically why we have these meetings and everything, to decide, you know, if the fire trucks can't get down the road because of this thing, then no, it's a safety issue. So if we can get rid of that, it's okay. Maybe so, maybe not. I don't know. You know, if everybody that comes to parties till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, so noise is always an issue, noise and light and everything like that. If that's the criteria, we can get rid of that, is it okay then? Or is it, or it's always going to look at it and say, it's in a residential area, so we're not going to let it exist, because this will always come to you as a residential area.
One of the issues that we've dealt with before has been fire department and the sprinkler systems that we would want in the facility. Is that a relevant issue?
The fire district is no longer requiring, I believe, these things to be sprinkled. They do require sometimes additional exits. They do require smoke alarms. They do require fire extinguishers and some different. They do require a little bit of upgrade from what you would call a residence home. At one time, they were going to require sprinkling, but our code book says that they have to be in compliance with the fire district. So whatever that fire district might require in that particular situation, that's their responsibility to fulfill. But specifically, I can't say. At one time, they were saying sprinkling, but they have changed their opinion on that, at least in the Western District.
So then the other issue is, because the reality is that you go to vacation rental by owner and you check out all of the brands and properties that are being advertised on that network, do we turn a blind eye?
I don't see how we can. And that's a big job.
Well, we don't have the personnel, and the position taken by the county is, as these come to our attention, through complaints or whatever the case might be, then we pursue that and bring it to you. If we've already predetermined that if it's in a residential area, this is not going to happen, we just need to amend our code book to tell these people you just can't operate like that.
Again, in all fairness to the applicant, again, remember that this is a unique property. It is fenced. It has more than adequate parking, both recreational as well as automobile parking. It was designed as a multi-family use situation. So do we treat this as a unique situation that's very different from the Jeremy Main issue in Poverty Point, which is not designed? You know, that was a five-bedroom house or something like that on a small lot. And this has land, and it's self-contained away from the neighborhood with direct access to the lake.
Eddie, do you have the language handy for nightly rentals in the COVID?
Yes, sir.
Now, again, remember that nightly rentals are a subset of Division 3 permits. But let me find it here real quick, and I'll get it for you.
You're actually right. This property has been used as this probably since its conception.
I don't know whether or not Mr. Morris would have...
Well, it wasn't rental, but he was still letting people, if they want to come in for one day...
A vacation property,
But Mr. Morris would allow that to be used at no charge to these people, and that's where the rub comes in. I don't know that for sure if he ever rented it out to anybody or anything
that
like that.
That shouldn't make a difference to us when we're looking at use. Traffic flow, security, noise, those are all the same whether they paid for it or not.
Yes, sir, that is correct.
But, again, just because it was done in the past doesn't mean it should be done now. That's not what I'm saying. It's just, I guess my thoughts are, and I know exactly it's a slippery slope, you're saying, Ray, but, and I wasn't here last week, so I'll be the first to say I certainly could have missed some information that's very important, but of all the places where we might look at that, this one's about as good as it's going to get. Not saying it's adequate, I'm just saying, you know, with the type of fencing it has and the room it has and the access and possible off-street parking compared to others that we've looked at now, this one's one of the ones that's better suited for something like that. If it doesn't flow, then we certainly need to just say none of these. But everywhere you go is a residential area in Taney County. Somebody lives there.
I'm gonna have to open up another tab because in my special use permit, that's a lot where my area is supposed to be.
The next thing is you should be somewhere available.
I have daycares.
In case there's a problem.
You know,
like a property manager.
Let me bring this up real quick and I'll
24/7 in case there is.
And that is the difference between other special use, I think, where like a jewelry place, they live there, they're there. Where this is unoccupied. Except for the people that are coming in. So there is a difference between that residential special use type.
I think it'd probably make a perfect place for a bed and breakfast. If he lived there and wanted a bed and breakfast permit, I think it would apply here because there's plenty of room. But I don't think, I just think if we open it up, it's just going to open up the whole residential neighborhood if they want to rent out part of their house.
Specifically, under nightly rental, this is a residential building or structure or part thereof that may be rented for any period of time less than 30 days. It needs to be in compliance with the local fire district for fire suppression and occupancy. It needs to be in compliance with the Taney County Health Department. It needs to have parking and access standards as per Table K, high density residential. It needs to have a compliance letter from the Taney County Assessor's Office because this will be changed to be taxed commercially. Are assessed commercially. The Taney County Planning Commission may, at their discretion, impose additional conditions or stipulations that it deems necessary.
And the high-density residential would be more like an apartment building or something, right?
Well, we're saying it needs to adhere to those parking standards, yes, or it would be like your condominium projects and things like that. So instead of, like, for a normal single-family home, you have to have two spots. This would have be based on bedrooms or based on use. Employees, that kind of thing like that.
How many bedrooms does this place have?
I believe it only has two.
With the high density residential, how many parking spots would that be?
It would have to have a minimum of four, but we would go on the use of the property. If he says the occupancy for that is nine, we would probably say, you know, four spots plus, you know, he might want to supply something for a trailer or something like that.
So. Right.
Mr. Alsop, far be it from us to indicate your business plan, but there is also an apartment that is connected with the property. Is it at all possible that you could change this request to a bed and breakfast and capitalize on that apartment?
That's possible. I don't have anybody to live there.
Not yet.
Yeah.
It's not a bad place. Does anybody want to volunteer?
It's good fishing.
Yeah. Oh, you probably have turkeys too.
Can we table this request and do some?
Yeah, I do actually.
There you go.
Come up with a criteria.
You better address that question, well, Mr. Paulson.
Mr. Cotto is asking whether or not we could table this request, and I don't know that tabling it is the answer, because if we're looking at criteria, we're talking about hours of operation. You know that we wouldn't accept any people in there. What are we looking at when we're looking at special regulations? Other than the ones that already seem to have been taken care of simply because of the geography of the facility.
And this one's about as good as
it's good as it's going to get.
Yeah.
This is an uncomfortable topic for me, and I'll state a couple reasons why. We as a county, sitting here at Planning and Zoning, have a citizen, Mr. Alsop, who's in here trying to do the right thing.
Right, exactly.
Trying to do the right thing, and knowingly throughout the county, we also knowingly know that these types of things exist countywide, yet we choose to do nothing about it. At least that's been my experience. We don't police it, and I'm not saying that we should. But here we have probably best case scenario for something like this to go on in a residential area. We have proper, adequate privacy fencing, adequate parking, and by the density, there's probably some noise buffering effect, but just by distance to the next area. So those are just some comments for me. I have really mixed emotions on it.
If we put certain criteria on it that we would have to follow, that we would follow across the board, because there would be other ones that would not meet the criteria. Like Frank said, this is an exceptional piece of property because it meets a lot of the criteria that we're looking for. And I think that maybe that would hold future ones down that would not meet the criteria, requesting, you know, setting a certain standard.
So criteria could be off-street parking.
Exactly. Minimum nights, maximum amount of people, requiring that a property manager live in Taney County and available 24/7. Off-street parking, no on-street parking, but adequate to accommodate all the vehicles instead of a minimum or a maximum number of vehicles. I know most timeshares, they have a six-night residency requirement and a maximum number of 8 people. I mean, as far as noise goes, my neighbors have parties and, you know, they own the house, so I don't think that we can. But I think that we could set a conditions and criteria that it would be difficult for properties that would not be conducive to this, that want to, that they could not meet, unless they change.
So, Susan, are you saying that based upon this particular proposal, you could modify the decision of record with those particular criteria, knowing full well that one of the first items on our changing of the code book would be to address the issue?
One of the reasons you have your public hearings is to work through these issues. Is there a problem with parking? Is there a problem with noise? So that's going to be addressed each time. And as you would evaluate each one of these requests, you would look at that and say, is that a problem here? Yes, it is, or no, it's not. If you say yes, it is it something that we can mitigate by putting this or doing that? With the special use, you have the option every time you look at a property like this to put different requirements on it, because you because you do that to this property doesn't mean you have to do it to the next one, or you may have to do more to the next one if there's any way to make it acceptable, if you're going to want to do nightly rentals.
But we would have a minimum standard.
Right, and
if
that's...
We would set, there would be, because I got to tell you, the off-street parking,
sure,
I think, would be an issue on most all of them.
And that being the case, when the next one came through, you could say, you know, this is pretty good, except we got some issues here with parking, which was a safety issue. And if you would choose to deny it then, that you would deny that based on a safety issue that you didn't feel like could be mitigated. So what I'm saying is I don't know that you need to put a whole lot of more rules in here because you deal with those issues now. Is it compatible? Well, you know, the houses are 2 foot apart, and you know, this is not a good situation because when the guys in there turn the TV on, the house next door can hear it come on. That's an issue. You know, but I mean, we have some basics here, you know, and maybe you want to put some more in there. I don't know. That would be a change to our code book, and that's something that definitely can be done. But that's what this meeting's for, is to look at it and say, are there some issues here, safety, health, security, whatever the case might be, whether it be from fire or traffic or, you know, whatever it might be, that need to be addressed, or have these been addressed, and you know, we want this and that. We want, you know, we want a 24/7 reachable manager, you know, whatever the case might be. But that's what your meetings are for, to see if these, you know, these are our concerns, and if you can get rid of these concerns, we would consider a special use for you, and that's a stipulation that we're going to put on you.
And when you went out there, did you see any problem with the fire district or the were you looking for that? I mean,
we looked to see, you know, kind of what's out there. As far as, you know, most places in Taney County do not have a fire hydrant system. So they bring in pumper trucks and everything like that. And unless for some reason, and I'm not saying it wouldn't be, because when people get on vacation, they can get crazy. There's no reason to assume that this house would catch on fire and burn completely to the ground as opposed to the house across the street or down the street or anything like that. And if it caught on fire, it would be treated the same. Would the fact that it's a nightly rental cause that to be a problem for the fire district? If they were parking all over the street, yeah, I'd say, yeah, not only for them, but for the neighbors. But, you know, if that's a concern, then, you know, you're saying, no, you know, off-street parking, and we need to keep this driveway clear, or whatever the case. But I'm saying you have the option under special use to put those stipulations. Again, I'm not trying to talk you into this. I'm just trying to say,
I'm familiar with the property, and it's got more off-street parking than any of the other residences out there. So,
Sean, Eddie, that fence that's there, that concrete or stone or whatever it is, I don't remember, is it around three sides, just not the lake side, I'm guessing, but the other three sides, both sides of the residences?
I think it's partial on, when you're facing the property, I think it's partial on the left, all the way across the front, and then the house next door shares that going on across the front. But between the house to the right, which is Mr. He's a singer. Starts with an S. Gary McSpadden. Between the fence between McSpadden's house and this house is a chain link fence, and they do have a shared gate.
But there is fencing, though.
Yes, sir.
All the way down to wherever the tag line is, probably. I'm guessing.
I believe it goes down there.
So whether it's that type of fence, but there's fencing, you know.
Yes, sir.
Fencing or buffers, what I'm thinking in a case like this.
Yes, sir.
Would always be required of some kind for anybody. And he's already got that, it sounds like. I just didn't know if it went all the way down.
Madam Chairman, do we want to eliminate our requirement that any of these other projects that we had that came to us for nightly rental, and we had one just recently with Eddie Wolf was representing. We required them to have somebody on to be responsible for. Do we want to eliminate that? I think we have to if we approve this. Because this is handled over the internet. And I don't think we can continue under our code to enforce a commercial operation out here like Eddie Wolf or some of the other developers building cabins come in here as to how they rent. If this can be rented over the internet, they should be be able to handle the internet. And I think we need to consider that. If we want to eliminate that out of the code, then that's a different question.
And that odd site situation had to do with the bed and breakfast. Is that correct?
No, it didn't have to do with bed and breakfast.
I think Mr. Edwards is referring to places where we come in, Branson Canyon, Thousand Hills, different places like that where we required them to have an on-site manager.
Branson Creek was the last development.
And most of those places do have a website where you can go on to rent a cabin through their management company. But we have in the past required, like with Branson Canyon, stuff like that, if you're going to do this, because of the volume of and the potential of that, with I think with Branson Canyon, it was like 40% of the homes out there could be in their nightly rental program, and because of the volume of people coming in and out, we required something to be on site. So we did the same thing with Mr. Down on Lakeshore Drive. I want to say Redbud Shores, but that's not it. The one beside it. We required he came in for nightly rental. And pardon? I think Briarwood was the name.
Sheriff,
was.
Also to my knowledge.
When the sheriff came in?
No, we required him to have something on site there because of the multiple units on site. Because of the volume of people coming in and out and needing to know where do I park and what do I do. So.
I think it's time to move forward with a motion on this particular project. So does anybody want to step forward and make a motion one way or another?
Is there anything in our code that strictly prohibits nightly rentals in residential areas?
No, sir. Until we actually defined it, it was viewed as a just any other business requiring a Division III permit. We did specify that because we knew the volume of what the potential was there, so we did specify it as a special use permit and made provisions for the county to address that. Again, special use does come to you as a residential unit, be it multifamily or it doesn't come to you as multifamily. As you'll remember, in most of our special use, if you have so many employees or if you have...
commercial use, Eddie, just like hairdressing place in a
yes.
residential neighborhood where you get a special use permit. While it's not completely compatible with the neighborhood, you allow it with a special use permit.
It doesn't do
similar
any...
Similar to that situation?
Yes, that's how these come in to us. Now, when we grant a place like Branson Creek, we grant them a full-blown Division III. We do not grant them a special use. Theirs is transferable to the next buyer or anything like that.
So we could make this non-transferable.
Special use is always non-transferable.
Is there a motion?
Don't look at me. I agree with Sarah, and I think that I think there are certain conditions. And like I said, I'm aware of this property. I've seen other properties that have tried to do the same thing, and they are not conducive to this at all. I think of the ones that I've seen, this is probably the least disruptive. And I appreciate the neighbors out there, their concern. But I know Mr. Alsop said that he's currently 3 nights minimum, but he's trying to get 5 nights minimum. And I think that, you know, timeshares, like I said, 6 nights. So I think there's some things that we can tweak it. I appreciate both sides of the argument. However, I think that we should give him consideration. It's like Frank said, he is coming forward. Okay, fine. I make a motion. Well, okay.
Okay.
I don't want to get phone calls at midnight from anybody, okay? My motion would be to approve it on the following conditions. Minimum of 6 nights. 8 people maximum. That the owner either live on the property or there is a property manager located in Taney County and available 24/7. That the off-street parking, it has to be off-street parking, and the off-street parking has to be adequate to accommodate up to, what, 4 vehicles?
Plus a trailer. Or
plus a trailer.
Did you mean minimum of six nights?
Minimum of 6 nights.
So they can't rent it for less than 6 nights?
No, it would be a weekly rental as opposed to nightly, because I think nightly kind of puts everybody off. It's like coming and going. But if somebody comes in there for 6 nights, they become, by all intents and purposes, residents. And most timeshares are a minimum of 6. I mean, they have them for 6 nights. You check in on Friday, and you check out the following Saturday. I mean, he can pick his days, but... and that would be... and then Sean had mentioned something about the noise, the 4.6 and the one right above it, about the music.
Yeah, you're off that now, but there was actually a pretty good thing that helps cover noise. It's above there for alcoholic beverage sales, but it's pretty good, 4.6.2.
Right.
That's up to you. It's your motion.
No, I think that that's I like that. I think that's...
You probably ought to state that.
Okay.
Instead of saying...
Then to take, if music, whether live or reproduced, is used for entertainment, the sound level shall not be such as to be a nuisance to any existing residences.
I second that.
Okay, with all of the stipulations. Good motion. And Benita, did you get all of them?
I've got it.
Okay. Yes. So would you mind reading the motion back as you have it recorded?
All right. Approved based upon the decision of record with the following conditions. 6 nights minimum, 8 people maximum, manager on presence or on premise 24/7, off-street parking adequate to accommodate 4 vehicles, and I put boat trailers because you didn't specify what kind of trailers. And sound levels of music shall not be a nuisance to residents.
And the one thing was the owner is to live on property or the property manager will be located in Taney County and available 24/7. So in other words, they could live down the street or they could live in Branson or Forsyth.
They could hire a property manager that does that.
Exactly.
They're going to have it cleaned. And.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Something I'd like to add.
Okay.
A friendly
amendment to the motion.
I'd like to add that if it's okay with you and you, that there's fencing around on both residential properties and the street side. That may come in handy later. It's there now.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that may come in handy later.
Okay, and do you accept that?
Let me ask one more question. Is the, I'm concerned about trash, that there is adequate waste facilities for trash disposal.
Jerry Welsh, he's the fishing guide that he and his wife claimed that for me, and he is available 24 hours. It's posted on both sides of the, on both sides of the cabin. And also I have a good friend of mine, Bob Cox, who owns the State Park Marina. Anytime I need any help, he's always there. He can send one of his guys down. But these guys are available.
So you're saying that...
And he takes trash.
That the motion contains not anything that you could not live with.
I've never had a 5 day.
Pardon?
I've never had a 5 day minimum.
It's a good motion.
Well, they don't have to stay 6 days. You just have to rent it for 6 days.
It's a good motion.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think, shouldn't we leave the, don't you think we should put the trash in here?
I'd add about the trash. Adequate trash.
I think so.
It's your
don't want them to take their trash and leave it in a sack out on that street, because that's a nice neighborhood. And no neighborhood should be. So if you put the trash, receptacle. Okay.
Okay, are we ready for the vote?
We have a second.
Brent seconded.
Okay, so Benita, we're okay. You've got the... Okay. call the question. All those in favor of the approval of this project as a special use project with all of the stipulations, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Madam Chairman, as I understand it, that doesn't meet the requirement that's asked for in this request. This request is for 90 rental, and it has to be 6-9 tract.
Anything less than 30 days is not the rental, right?
That's according to the definition, yes, sir.
But this has to be rented for 6 nights.
That's what we have just said.
His request in here is for 1 night, each night, one nightly.
Depending on how you define nightly rental again and how the code book.
I would suggest that we take a look at the code and put some conditions in the code book that was mentioned here in this
I think that's why Sean in particular added the fencing, because as he said down the road, that could come back.
Yeah, I'm really thinking like you're thinking. You know, we don't want to start a
wall.
Yeah, exactly right. I'm with you. Yeah. I agree. Okay.
Congratulations.
I've never been approved by neither group of
people. Thank you very much. Okay, let's move on then. Is the representative from Tri Lakes here at all yet? Then what we do is just ignore that. Let's move on to concepts. So we have Chloe's Dream Home.
Yeah, you're going to love this one.
Okay.
Because this comes to you as a special use.
We don't approve people.
In essence, a nightly rental. This is on Ella Lane, right out, not too far from... yes, the National Institute of Marriage. So let me see if I can, you'll remember this is just a quick overhead right there of that. This is a, where am I now? This is a property here. If you remember, this was Ella Lane, and this is the National Institute of Marriage. As the National Institute of Marriage was going through this, Ms. Britt realized that she probably needed to get some approval from us, came right in and started on this. It's a little bit different in that she, it's not open to just everybody, but I'll let her get into that with you in here in just a second. Here's the blow-up of the property. This was one of the properties we were very concerned that had access to it, if you remember correctly. It is on the platted Ella Road easement, which, as you remember, when this thing goes forward and they begin to build up in here, they're going to have to finish putting that road in to minimum county standards as the National Institute of Marriage begins to expand.
So their property line to National Institute of Marriage is property line, and I guess the rest of the standards, that little corner would be up to...
Yes.
These folks, right?
Yeah, well, actually, the road is platted to right here, and
okay.
Then it stops.
So it is. So the rest of that's a driveway?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So that is where that is. So ask away.
Okay, and you are Alicia Chloe?
Sholey. Alicia Britt
Sholey. Sholey.
Yes,
Sholey. Okay, so talk us through this project.
Yes, ma'am. And this is Gary Allman, in case anybody has any questions for him. Yes, and I also...
I'm a mouthpiece, but I'm going to let her talk.
Okay. He has ears to hear things I don't know how. So. I did prepare some documentation about some of the issues that might be coming up, so if there's anything you might need, from trash to the road to Jim Singel's thoughts on fire or the septic evaluation, I have that here. My husband and I have had a dream for over 10 years of creating a home that's devoted to spiritual rest and renewal. We've been in ministry for well over 25 years and have always been mentoring and investing in the next generation. And so we thought for a long time, wouldn't it be amazing to build a home right next to ours and make it a place of prayer, make it a place where we can hold our mentoring intensives. And so the dream's been there for a long time, and then the opportunities accelerated this fall. And we came across this beautiful home down at the end of Ella and contacted everybody we knew to contact to ask and make sure that our dreams were something that could come to pass there, and began remodeling on the inside, with paint and just everything we can imagine. I scoured around for beautiful writing desks and chairs that you wouldn't want to get out of. And so we've established this as a home devoted to prayer and to mentoring. And when it's not being used by our family or for those primary purposes, we make it available for other families to meet there. So this is our home.
So in a sense, you are asking for this to be used as a retreat that you would charge people for. Mm-hmm. So then we get into questions of capacity and length of time of stay. How does your project differ from the project that we've just been dealing with?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I think there's an issue of ends and means here. The end is that we are creating a home devoted to spiritual rest and renewal. The missionaries that come, they do not pay, or they just pay an extremely minimal amount to try to cover utilities as an offering. And so offering it to families outside of that primary purpose is a means to an end as opposed to an end in and of itself. So I think that that is a difference as far as purpose of the home.
But why are you... Let me make sure I understand exactly how this would operate. So speak to the numbers issue, if you would.
Sure.
So how many bedrooms does this home have?
This bedroom, when we purchased it, I'm sorry, the home, when we purchased it, it had 5 bedrooms and 3.5 baths. Mm-hmm. And when we remodeled, we transformed one of the dining rooms into a beautiful writer's room, and we made the half bath a full bathroom. Mm-hmm. And so, well...
So you've got 6 potential bedrooms.
Yes, ma'am.
And 4.5 baths?
No, just 4, ma'am.
Four baths.
Yes. So when I hold my leadership investment intensives, it's me and 5 women, and they come from all over the nation. Some are writers, some are pastors, wives, whatever they happen to be, and each stay in a different bedroom. And then we meet for 4 days for a time of teaching and mentoring and together. When we just had 3 prayer missionaries from Kansas come down, and so they all stayed in each in a different bedroom. I have some of the letters from some of the people who've come.
Why is this not a hotel?
Ms. Kleinfelter, if I can clarify this, she runs a couple of different types of ministries out of there, and for the biggest part, if I'm not mistaken, those people come at no charge.
Yes, yes, sir.
So these people she's talking about that come in for her leadership and stuff like that, they come in and she just uses the house. What she's asking is that to help pay the expenses on the house, she wants to be allowed to rent this out to people that are not in part of that. So most of the time it's going to be used for... her ministry, things like that, at no charge to the people. After that, then it would be opened up to like a small church group. She just had, I think, 8 or 9 ladies in here recently who would then pay for that stay. And I don't know what her rates are. That's not my concern or anything like that. But for the majority of the time, that... it's used at no charge, so don't get that confused when she's talking about her leadership initiatives and things like that. That's not the people she's actually renting to. She is just using the home at that point.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I think she does, and I'm going to say programs, you might correct me, she's been doing programs for some time, and she's, I think what she's found now is more as a permanent location to run her program. So it's really a location not to rent out. It's not a motel, not a hotel, not a nightly rental, but she rents it to groups to have a program, to do a program at that point. Some programs she leads, and of course would be open to have someone else bring a group there for a program, primarily religious oriented.
Our families.
Our family oriented. And you can go on the internet and find Alicia. She spelled out pretty well what she does there. I'm curious as to when you introduced this in the beginning, there was something up on the top at this point. I was going to say left, but up on the top, her neighbor to the north. I'm trying to understand what the property.
This property up here belongs to the National Institute of Marriage.
What are they going to do? Is that Smalley?
No longer is. No, sir. It is I don't think he's involved with that anymore.
No, he's not.
No, it used to be, but it's not anymore.
Is that a special use?
No, sir. That was granted Division 3, if I'm not mistaken. It was not a special use.
It's commercial.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So her neighbor to the north is commercial. Mm-hmm. What about to the south?
I believe the rest of that is residential, if I'm not mistaken.
And I guess to the east also.
Residential.
Yeah.
What's the size of it? It looks like there's a lot of buffering to the south.
The this area here, they own a little over 10 acres, if I'm not mistaken. Let me see what I can find for you real quick.
Empire doesn't own that, does it?
No. They own the stuff to the west.
They think they own a lot to the east.
Will you be there 24/7? Will you be someone living there for you?
Oh, no, sir. We live about an hour away, and we have people available 24/7 in case there's anything that comes up. And I'm always there to welcome the people and answer any questions.
And you've been to the fire district?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I have all of those papers if you would like. At whatever time you'd like them.
Yeah. And it's a little early, I think, for some of that documentation, but you're ahead of the game because you do have those. Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
I'm still trying to understand that you are asking, and Eddie, help me with this one. I assume that you're also asking for a special use permit.
That is correct.
Okay, that you are not wanting the zoning change on the property.
No, I believe that when we laid it all out of what we're doing, that special use was the choice advised to us.
But I go back to my question, why isn't this operationally the same issue that we've just dealt with?
As far as we are concerned.
Yeah, we present it to you as basically nightly rental because there will be people that they're not involved in her program. Although she will have a program that runs most of the time, it's just a lesser density type use. There will be people that rent this to use for their purposes, whether they be a women's prayer group or whatever the case might be. She will, as you get into public hearing, one of the differences would be that she's probably going to be a little more selective on who rents it, but that's for the public hearing.
You are aware that Ella Lane is going to be redone, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah. Up to her property line.
And that's where I understand it becomes her driveway.
Yes.
Right.
And we had already made improvements just for our own use, for our own safety of our car before when we first moved there.
Do you have parking there? How many cars do you park?
Yes, we have two in the garage, two just outside the garage, and you can easily put six around the circle drive. So a total of 10 is easy.
So again, it's almost parallel to what we just dealt with. Mm-hmm.
See if she's going to be there and be in charge of it.
Well, no, she lives about an hour away.
Some of the time.
So she would not be there.
You don't live there?
Oh, no, sir.
No, she doesn't live there.
But we have people in place for just about everything you could imagine who've made commitments to assist us.
Local people?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. We look forward to seeing you. 24/7. Next month.
Yes.
I don't see any reason why we do not go forward with this project.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you all.
Thank you. Nice smile.
Lots of smiles.
Let's move on to the second concept then. That is the Brass Lantern Resort.
We're going to move into a familiar face now. Mr. Eddie Wolf's going to be here. If you'll remember a while back.
Hi, Mr. Wolf. How are you?
Just fine.
We had a request for the. For the Brass Lantern to make some changes into it. It was going to involve some sewer and some septic and stuff like that. And went to our Board of Adjustment to get a variance request. And the Board of Adjustment denied the request. And so consequently, it didn't come back before you guys. So, he can have the corner. And so basically, just to get you oriented real quick, this is the area. This is a blow-up of the property. If you can remember from your packet and everything, these are the structures already on the property here. And unless you want to point something out there, Mr. Wolf, I'm going to go down to the plat that you have it drawn. Is that okay?
That's fine.
And this is the plat. So, take it away.
I know you've had some bad experiences with the owner of this, with some projects and everything, and I'm sure Eddie's told you we've been working with her, and she's been very cooperative, and we've cleaned up a lot of the problems that existed on the other project. Haven't got them all, because we can't until she gets her development far enough that we can straighten them all up. But so far, all the landowners there and everything have been agreeable to swap property, get it corrected, close up the gaps and stuff that had all the problems. And then Eddie told me that Jens had looked at this property before, and she talked to me about coming in and subdividing this up, and we're wanting to cut property into six lots, and that would be a lot, there's a lot, there's a lot, and you can see the various ones labeled there. And the reason we're wanting to do that is we're wanting to take, I think that's lot six, isn't it, Eddie? I may have to
that's
get,
what I'm
let
trying
me get
to...
my sheet here right to pick number.
Yes, sir, that is lot six.
I swear, you can't see that from there?
That is lot six, Eddie.
Hey, I'm over 50.
Lame excuse.
What she's wanting to do on this is, since we're going to put the treatment plant in right down here, and then we're going to put the well up here, which will meet the regulations of the county and the state, that we're wanting to take the existing cabins that's on the property, and she wants to continue to rent those right now. But what we're asking for is approval that we can tear those down, rebuild new cabins in their place, and eventually take this and sell them off as condominiums, and they would stay in a nightly rental program, basically run as a resort. And there's a gentleman that wants to buy lots 1, 2, and 3, and he wants to build cabins there, and they would be part of the resort as it's run now. But those would be his. They would just rent them out for him. And that's what they're wanting to do there. They're wanting to build a pool down here and a playground area right in there. And we provided parking and everything for it here. And they're wanting to put a laundry room kind of underneath the pool. And then you'll have the maintenance room for the pool under there. And that'll all be right in that area. And like I said, everything in here would be sewered by the treatment plant, mandatory. And but that's what we're asking for, is to subdivide it into six tracts, provide sewer and water to it per code, and have the right to replace the cabins as they, you know, can economically, and keep everything in a nightly rental program. But these units could be sold. It's like a condominium project, but the association would have to be set up, and all the paperwork, platting, and everything like done like that to get them into a condominium. But that's basically what they're wanting to do.
They'll have a manager 24/7.
Yeah, they'll. Right now, you know, they have got the resort there, and there will be a manager there. You know, it'll be basically a resort is what it is.
Eddie, is that water system separate from the one that's there now?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's going to be up there. They'll buy the other one, right?
Uh-huh. But it's got to be a better well.
Yeah.
So we're really not.
Is this property already in her name here? Has it been transferred?
It's
I believe it does show us.
I believe it is, isn't it, Eddie?
Let me bring it up real quick, and
you can look there real quick and see. There's one that's brass lantern there.
Right
those two
here.
Right there.
That's
109 acres.
That's too big.
Be the other
so,
one.
Let's see.
Peterson's the one that owned that resort, isn't he?
Yeah. It's under. No, that's 20 acres.
Yeah. Let me see if it's under brass lantern.
Okay. There could be, you know.
Yeah, that's it. okay,
give me just a second here, folks. And we'll identify that particular piece of property.
You're lucky you picked the smallest parcel there, really.
I know it.
It's right down there on the left, down at the bottom.
Right here?
Yeah.
Okay, let me hit this.
Same Day Ranch, LLC.
Yes, so that is one of their companies. It's under Some Day Ranch, LLC.
Okay.
And they're presently down there renting the cabins and everything, best of my knowledge, right?
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
She tried to, you know, our code requires the owner, and I just wanted to make sure they've been transferred out Peterson's name, I know.
Right. Now, there could be a deed of trust on it, that I don't know. But, you know, you pay $5 down on something, buy it, get it in your name. But anyhow, you know, there was a lot of problems in there, from what I understand, with the core, you know, with encroachments on the core, and they went in and taken care of those. And this road right here, you know, presently it comes all the way through, because it's kind of confusing on this drawing. I'm showing existing cabins, proposed cabins, that way you can see everything that's there. And I can even give you topo, because we topoed the property, because the design's got to be done for the plant, and all that stuff's already been done. But this road right here will be closed off, where it will not go through, because the Corps didn't want a through road there. They wanted to use this road here that goes down to the lake. So that will take place there. And that's with that pool there and all that, that will go away. We're just showing what's existing there right now.
So what would that be, a hammerhead or whatever?
We're showing, you know, we got the...
Oh, I see it.
Where you pull in there and then go out, and we got the necessary parking here for each one of the cabins going through there.
So it covers all the emergency vehicle stuff.
Mm-hmm. And, and what it is, this road coming in here, we basically tried to follow the northerly edge of the existing road, because it's got planters in the middle of it. You can see them here. You know, that would have to be redone, you know, for a road going in there. And down that area, I don't know if it require curbing. It'd be the only thing in the area. It's a pretty rustic resort. You know, I would think that, you know, that basically, you know, gravel road, ditching, culverts, deal with the stormwater. And we'd have to run some numbers to see if it even would require a detention pond. That I don't know. But if it did, you know, they just have to put it in, because of... we're not disturbing a lot of the area.
Yeah, that was all built before there's any restrictions.
Right.
Corps didn't even have any restrictions back then.
Right, yeah.
May I say, first of all, that I personally am very grateful that you have taken on this project. I think it has moved off of dead center.
I'll tell you this, the way I approached it is, when Eddie called me with all the problems there, I went through all the deeds for Eddie, made him diagrams and everything. And she called me about doing the work, and I just told her point blank, and I told her this in Eddie's office, and he heard it. If you transfer one more meets and bounds legal description, and me not know it, I quit. And she had got the message. Because since she has done the way she needs to do, we've already recorded two plats, we got rid of a lot of her problems, and things have kind of settled down for her. And so she understands what the code is. She still has her wild ideas about some things, but I just point blank tell her, you know, you can't do it. You know, she's the one to put septic tanks on this. I said, it won't work.
It's there now.
Well, let me continue, because for reasons known only to me, within the last month, I've had reason to drive through Brass Lantern. Many of the cabins look like occupied small houses.
Mm-hmm.
Are any of them privately owned now?
No. There's not
so
no transfer that I'm aware of.
Under the name of the resort. Okay.
Yeah, when Eddie showed you the ownership there, it showed the total acreage on there. Now, to the best of my knowledge, there's not been anything sold, contract for deed or anything. Because a contract for deed, we don't know.
Right.
So, now, in the other subdivision, there is contract for deeds out there that she has a transfer title, but people are making payments and they're not in compliance if the land was transferred.
We can't
do anything about those till we get to the point where we can straighten them up.
Well, this takes me to what my real question is. And my question is, when you sell self-contained cabins or small houses as condominiums, what land goes with the condominium?
None.
So you're simply dealing with the building itself?
Yeah, in a condominium, all you sell is the airspace inside the walls. And but now, so I'm clear on this, you know, we'd be selling, she'd have the opportunity to sell lots 1, 2, and 3. That's what we're asking.
And then, those will meet the minimum square footage for...
Then this lot right here, we wanted to carve it out because that's where they want to build their house, is what they told me since the lodge burned. And so those four would be, possibility could be sold to anybody as a lot. But they, if they get on the sewer plan, it's going to be mandatory that they become a part of the association. That's what she told me.
Okay. But the reality is we don't plat this as a subdivision.
We would plat this property as a subdivision into the 6 lots. But
as a condominium style of ownership.
That's correct.
For any of the lots.
No.
On 3 of
John,
the lots.
John, I could come over on lot 1 and build that cabin right there.
Right.
As long as I become a part of this association and ran my sewer and water down here to this plant.
Right.
I would still own that cabin on that lot. The only lots we're talking about condominium, the only buildings we're talking about condominium is that one, that one, that one, that one, that one.
Okay.
This one, that one.
So the guy that's going to buy lot 1, 2, and 3 that might put cabins on it, he's not going to be under that condominium style of ownership and doesn't want to be?
He'll actually own a piece of property, okay, and he'll pay dues for the use of the water,
okay,
and the sewer.
So he owns the property, it's just the other 2 or 3 lots,
but
lot 6.
The right to put it in the nightly program with the Brass Lantern Resort.
Understand.
So he could buy that,
just
like
a style ownership
home,
talking about condos.
But he would actually own the dirt there.
Okay.
Basically, what we're doing, we're almost putting residential condominium the way it's set up.
Okay. Eddie, where's the private homes that's already up on top for there?
There's an existing house. There's a double right there. Is that what you're talking about?
Well,
there's a neighborhood up there.
Yeah, they're up above up here.
Okay.
Yeah. And I looked in there just briefly through the records, and those lots have all been amended at one time, so they're not the original lots either in there.
But they're all privately owned.
I think so. I don't know of any of them that aren't, because you're talking about these right here.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're not really going to change what's going on down there now. It's just the ownership, the way it was turned into. And she would have to build the plant down here and get the well drilled to be able to transfer any of these anyhow.
Will they have to put their house, an individual house, on the plant? Is that going to be part
of the plant? Yeah, it's mandatory by code, DNR, everybody. Since we're dealing with 8,000 square foot lots in your residential code,
right,
it requires that they have to be on sewer.
Rick, everything that's in this turquoise area here, which is the 2.8 some odd acres, will end up
they
on that.
They have to be on one well and one plant.
Are you going to build the plant and get everybody on it before you go further, or is one of these, if they build these?
The way the code's set up is that they could build that plant and put that well in, and at that point there, Eddie would let us plat that.
Right.
And then as they build, then they would have to hook on. But they'd either have to bond it or put the structures in.
Whatever happened to the concept of simplify, simplify, simplify?
It's just like the economy, it gets better.
I guess probably. We look forward to seeing you next month, certainly. Okay, let's move on to Saddlebrook Ridge. The representative is... Mr. Eddie Wolf?
Yes.
Okay.
This is a real simple one. There's no likely rental involved. The reason we're coming back on this project here...
This is how it is right now, and then I've got your other plan.
Yeah. We've done a minor subdivision on the property. Will the gentleman come back, and on this big lot right here, he says, I want some more lots. So we've already platted this into one big lot right there. So what he's wanting to do is take this and make 6 lots out of it instead of 1. So we've got 5 additional lots in here. And by code, since we've done the minor and we go in to split a lot, we got to come back. And these all are meet DNR requirements for septic and well. They're all large tracts. And they're all residential. And so, you know, that's the reason we're here. And there's a... drawing, Eddie, that we sent over to you because we're discussing access here on this lot, and I don't know, Dan might not have got it in
there. It's not in here, no, sir.
But I've got the drawing there if you want to see it. But right here, we come in and put 70-foot of frontage right there, and we run a strip right down here to hook into that, so we got that solved right there. And that should, in other words, it'll access this lot right here. But because I know I had Kelly send it over to him, he just might not have got it in the file. But we'd come in and just done 70-foot there and then run a strip down into that. That's what we did. Because I thought this was a road down here, really. This is one of Jackie's projects, and I really didn't know, because it looks like there should be a road here the way that's cut out, but there's not.
Yeah, we discussed that. Is this the road up here, is this going to be moved a little bit, Eddie? Is that originally
the original there, yes, we're going to move that there. First, he wanted to put it down over the edge of the hill so he had the ridge top to build on. Then after he got a bid on the road, he decided he wanted to move it back up top of the hill because his house is right here, and that road is really close right there to that house. It's within, you know, meets the setbacks, but he had some trees he'd planted, and he wanted to save those trees. Well, to put the road really where it needed to go, the trees need to leave. So after he got the bid on the road, he decided those trees wasn't worth that much money.
More expensive to replant, yeah, or more cheap.
Yeah. Not cheap. So yeah, anyhow, cheap, this road will be moved there, and it'll have to be a vacation done on that part of it that's platted in there.
Eddie, is the sewer on this going to be hooked onto the other side of Brook?
No, this array will all be septics. Septics and wells, because they're all big tracks.
That's just north of the shooting.
The shooter's range is right there.
Okay.
It's right against shooter's range.
More or less across the highway from the gas station, kind of.
Gas station. No.
No,
this is actually up on top of the hill. It'd be just the shooter's range that's right there. It'd be just north of this.
Oh, so it's right, yeah, I guess
Misty
that would
Mountain.
Be.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Misty Mountain, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
And you'll bring us your plat.
Yeah, I've got a copy of it here.
For Eddie, yeah. Okay. Let's move on to permit renewal request. We have one from Big Cedar. So do we have the representative from Big Cedar here? Mr. Eddie Wolf.
Don Jackson with Blue Green asked me to appear for them. And asked for the extension on the 109 acres that, you know, they still got plans to do what they want to do. It's just with the economy slow down, and they've been building in Big Cedar itself, the 3,000 building. It just come online, and so we're just asking for the extension of it, and they plan to move forward with it.
Anybody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Grant an extension?
I'll second.
Second. Call the question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Thank you.
Got it. Let's move on to Tim Freund.
Tim Friend. I believe it's pronounced Friend. Is that correct?
I'm actually Ross Williams.
Okay.
Real quick, if you remember, this project is out on 86 across from the DeMonico, where the motel used to be, and they've been tearing down and got approved for that just a while back. As far as I know, no changes or anything to that, and nothing has been started other than they have been doing some demolishing and everything like that. It's just time for a permit renewal, and that's what he's here for.
Okay, so same story, same
story.
Verse,
yeah.
Et cetera.
No knock and riddles. No, the same thing is, and he is very close to getting ready to get started. So,
okay. How many times is this? First, second?
I think this is the second, I think, but it may just be the first. He's got more left.
So he
after
understands.
This.
Yes, he does. Right.
And I think they'll start this before.
It actually wasn't up till October sometime, middle of October, but he just wanted to go ahead and come on in now and get it done. And
okay, is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay, second?
I'll second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we extend this permit. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Good. That was simple.
That was quick. Thank you.
I have Mr. Brian Wade.
Let me ask one more question real quick, and I'm going to explain this one to you. You are? Mr. Kitchen. Okay, good. He's here with the same issue here.
Okay.
Mr. Wade, you know, most of you know Mr. Brian Wade. He represents different clients, things like that, but he's an attorney out of Springfield. You've seen him here with a couple different things. There's some business going on between Big Cedar and Blue Green and some other people that is going to be changing ownership. And Mr. Wade was reading our nightly rental program dealing with special use permits, and wrote an opinion to Blue Green Big Cedar that perhaps we better clarify the use of the properties that they're looking at. Of course, one out at Big Cedar, one at Paradise Point. And as you remember, these projects received a Division 3 but not a special use permit, and they were allowed for condominium-style of use, nightly rentals and things like that. They wanted to be sure that as they proceeded forward in their plans that all of a sudden they weren't going to lose the right to do their nightly rentals and that sort of thing. I explained to them that because this was not a special use permit, special use was particular to residential type structures, that this was a full-blown Division 3 and was granted in that, that as long as they didn't deviate from the original approval, amount of buildings, units, things like that, and uses, that they could go ahead and proceed on with that regardless of if it sold once, twice, three times, whatever the case might be. In the event that they had any kind of issues or where they needed to change the plan or something like that, that they would need to come back and see you. They wanted to make sure that they had a record of that, so that's what we're here for tonight. And I told them that unless I was misinterpreting, that was my understanding, I would explain that to you, and then I would issue them a letter to that effect. But I wanted to make sure that they had their record of that tonight, and that I'm not interpreting that incorrectly. Is that your understanding as a board?
It's my understanding.
Okay. That's what I thought.
That's just me, though. I don't know about the rest of them. That's...
So, Mr. Kitchens, we will have that understanding. I will issue a letter for you tomorrow with that understanding and everything, and then I'll reference this meeting here, which is recorded, and you will be able to get a set of the minutes for that, showing that for you.
Because there was nothing unique in the decision of record under the Division 3.
Yeah.
It did take in several different decisions of records because it was several different projects and everything, but they were all the same. They were full-blown Division 3. They were not special use permits.
That's my understanding. So, as long as they follow what was set forth in the decision of record, it remains through each sale.
Anything that you would like to ask them or hear, Mr. Kitchen?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Just following Brian Wade's advice.
Yes, sir. And I don't mind doing that, making it clear for him and everything. So
it's better than not asking.
I just have another question. How is the bowling alley coming?
Well, that's part of the 109-acre development that was...
Did you just renew?
So it's not yet. Too bad.
You could probably take a bowling ball.
The stable's still there right now.
It's going to bounce.
If you can find the ball.
Or just like how it would improve her game on a flat slope. Yeah.
You'd be good at that.
I could. Good.
Real quickly, if I may.
Okay.
I pass around pictures of the fence out at the Alton property. And did everybody get to see those?
Okay. Yes.
All equipment has been removed from the property out there. He does have the, now I'm not saying it's not coming back, but when I was out there today, all the equipment was gone. He has a fence completely down the one side with the slats in it near the residential. He did also put some other fence up with the barbed wire on top, like we've mentioned, where it makes the corner there by the little convenience store that used to be there. I haven't talked to him or anything like that, but believe he got that in under the deadline there as far as his was concerned and everything. And now he would, my guess is that when it's available to him, he will come in and begin to do the work in that. And then, of course, the requirement being when that work's finished out there and he begins to store, or when he begins to store equipment out there, that equipment will be inside the fence of the yard. Now, my understanding is the office building itself does not have to be fenced, just the equipment yard.
Did it look good to you? Look like it matched what our intent was?
It's exactly, it is 8 foot. It does have the slats in it, just as requested. I'm going to tell you.
I mean, for the pictures, it looked fine to me. I'm just asking what you thought.
It's a nice looking fence and everything. So it's.
It will get done what we wanted to get done. Put the privacy in there and keep the folks out.
Yes, sir, it will do.
Okay,
that.
And it's a permanent fence.
Those
it's
were my
concerns. Not something
concern.
That's.
Right.
He's not temporary.
No.
No.
Of course, if you run into it with a bulldozer, everything's temporary.
He does have big equipment.
Okay. Then I have a question.
I knew you would.
I understand that planning and zoning as a Taney County phenomenon is under attack. Can you bring us up to date on that, and at what point do we need to be advocates on behalf of planning and zoning?
There are people in Taney County who do not wish to have planning and zoning in Taney County.
Period.
I think some of them want to have it, but not necessarily as it's administered today. Are some of the rules that we have. I think there is some confusion with how things are done sometimes. And it basically hinges over, I think, agricultural a lot of times. And so there's been several meetings. There's been people disgruntled with some of our practices. Without getting into it too heavy, we receive a complaint from someone, we always check out the complaint. We don't necessarily go looking for things, but sometimes we do see things and we have to look at that. I know several of you have come into these meetings in the past 5 years that I've been here and said, I need you to go down and check this out. And I take that as a complaint, that there's something that you want looked at. And that being the case, sometimes when that property happens to be agricultural, we get the people will tell us that it's agricultural and they need any permits or different things like that. Sometimes they won't say it's agricultural. Sometimes they'll kind of dance around that issue, and then we inform them they need permits. But all this kind of goes together to say that there's people just disgruntled with planning and zoning and the way, it goes through.
Is the issue, Eddie, again, where we are now with performance zoning, or is the issue over the imposition of traditional zoning with zoning districts?
Both. I think I would be safe to say both. And this morning, I believe... Mr. Pendle, and I don't want to speak for him. I think he's still here, but I think he tried to clarify that. Is it where we're headed or where we are? And I think it kind of came down to the place where it's some of both. So
what is the progression of this, what inevitably will be a controversy?
We're going to have to continue to go forward if what we've seen with Stone County and places like that is true. We're going to have to define some zoning districts and what goes along with those, which we've been doing in the past, and it's a very slow-moving project. But we're going to have to do that. There are people in Taney County that have decided that it's probably beneficial to just go ahead and see if the people want planning and zoning again. So it's quite very possible you'll see a petition of people asking to have planning and zoning removed from Taney County. As discussed this morning, that takes a 5% amount of the people who voted in the last gubernatorial race. I don't know when that was done. I think it was done during the presidential election. I'm not sure. And then it would go before the commission to put back on there. The consensus was, if that's what you want to do, do it. Let's move forward with it one way or the other.
They have that right.
And that is the case. I think we're all in agreement that that our code currently has some flaws. It doesn't address enough. Doesn't address the issues that are really always clear, just like tonight. Mr. Wade was reading special use and tied that back to a project that had been approved many years ago and just wasn't sure that my word was good enough for that. I understand that because there's millions of dollars involved with what could happen there. And so just some things that need to be clarified. Will it ever be totally clear? Will it ever make everybody happy? I don't think so. There's always going to be something that needs to be changed and done, and that being the case. So
you know, that's what we try to do at least once a year here to look at the things that have caused issues and to make the changes in them. But it's just, you know, it's just a time, and you see it too, when the economy gets tough and people want to do things. And one of our commissioners made the statement this morning, sometimes you got to strike when the iron's hot, and when you're getting all ready to strike, and then you find out, well, there's a procedure for that. And your iron's going to cool off a little bit in this procedure before you can strike it. That causes people issues, and so you know we will try to streamline some of that as we move forward with our zoning districts and things like that. But sometimes it's just going to run into issues. So
just to, for my edification, if we had no planning and zoning, say there is a trailer park put up someplace and somebody bought the property next to it, they put a pig farm or anything up next to it, if there's no planning and zoning, and they would have no control over that, correct?
Yes,
so the
ma'am.
The smell or whatever would jeopardize.
Oh, well, and just like tonight, if Mr. Alsop wanted to do a nightly rental, he does it. Now, there's still some rules and regulations on the state level. I mean, you know, he can't, you know, if he's blocking the roads and everything completely, then the sheriff's called out.
Yeah.
You know, and they have their rules and regulations. But basically, yes, the people that come in here with saying, help us, we don't want this in our neighborhood, then have no help.
There would be no recourse.
There would be nothing. You know, of course,
on both
some
sides.
People would be out there saying, I came to you for help, and you didn't help me anyway, so why do I care?
Yeah, but on both sides, it would be the people who don't want, I mean, they would be opening themselves up to.
And so I think for the biggest part, most people want some form of planning and zoning. But many people have run up against planning and zoning here, and it just hasn't worked exactly the way they wanted it to
work. Well, most people want, if they don't want planning and zoning for themselves, they want planning and zoning for their neighbors.
Uh-huh. Yes.
So I think we run into that a lot. They don't want to be planned and zoned, but they want their neighbors to be planned and zoned.
Yes.
So, you know, that's not the way it works.
Yeah.
And I want to make a statement that I've made before, and I'm going to make it again, is that, you know, just because a few people don't think it's a good idea for them, that's not our charge. Our charge is to do what's best for the citizens, all of them, from all the way to the east, to all the way to the west,
exactly.
To the north, to the south of Taney County, whether they've lived here today. They are a citizen of Taney County. If they moved here today, somebody did. I'll guarantee you, never been here in their life. Or whether they've had generations here for 150 years. There is no difference. We serve them the same. And you don't carry more weight because you've lived here for 150 years. Now, you may have more in it, you think, but we don't know where these people have moved from. They're Taney County citizens, just like everybody else, and it's our charge to do what's best for every citizen of Taney County, and that's how I'm going to approach it.
Thanks.
Period.
Hallelujah. Here.
So that's kind of where we are.
And I wanted to say that having worked with planning and zoning throughout the turbulent times of the 90s, I cannot think of a time in 2010 where we need planning and zoning more than we need it today.
Amen.
I have never seen the squirrely kind of issues that we're having to deal with today. And if we didn't have rules and regulations to go by, this whole county would be in terrible turmoil.
Scary.
Well, look what the airport and the brass lantern would look like if we didn't have.
Exactly.
Look what Webster County went through with. And they wanted planning and zoning when they were going to put that refinery in there, but there wasn't no way they could stop it. And the only thing that has saved them is the economy and the price of fuel.
Yeah, I think about the
that's the bad part. People don't want any planning and zoning
until
so it affects them.
Like I said. And then you want it for your neighbors, not necessarily for yourself.
You remember recently in the news there was a rendering plant in some small town not too far around here, and the smell was so bad that the EPA finally, I think, had to step in and say, you know, this can't go on because they didn't have anything else to regulate that. So
I guess, Eddie, what I'm asking again, back to the question, is at what point do we need to get involved in that issue, or do we do we become simply reactive, or do we become proactive, or do you just keep us apprised of everything that's going on? I mean, do you need help? Is what
Friday I felt like I needed help.
You too,
for today, I hate to drag you into something when you don't really know what's going to happen, and it's very. And sometimes it's just disgruntled people, and hopefully our commissioners know that we, as a group, try to be fair and we try to be honest, and we don't have any private agendas to further ourselves and everything. But sometimes it gets a little scary. You guys expect if somebody says go check this out that I go check it out, and then based on the instruction or the conversation that I have with the individuals, have to make a decision on that as we interpret the code book, and that's not always pleasant to people, and of course they have another recourse to run to. So we're striving to make sure that we're being fair and that we're being honest, just as Sean has mentioned. And I'm probably one of the worst people for remembering somebody. I can run into them 3 or 4 times, and you can ask me this, and I will not know who they were. They are, and so just try to treat them all the same. And sometimes that means you don't get the decision you want, and sometimes it means you do. But it's not because I like the color of your hair or your shoes or anything like that. It's just because that's the way we interpret the code.
Well, that's what we're charged to do, and I think all of us here feel the same way and feel very strongly about what we would.
But I did call Sean. He wasn't able, and I felt Friday we might should get somebody in here. However, I don't know that it would have been beneficial for you to be here this morning. I just don't know.
It's a lot like I've been in a few of those other meetings. It's a lot like a dog chasing his tail over and over and over. Or Groundhog Day. You've seen Groundhog Day?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's pretty much what the meetings that come up like that. It's just basically a filibuster. And the thing is, if whoever wants to do that, wants to get those signatures, they have that right to do
yes,
that.
Sir. That is correct.
Other than that, I think we do the best we can for Taney County.
I would encourage you that you go to the county website, that you click on departments, that you click on commission, and let me just do it for you real quick while we're here. If I can get there from here. And you bring up their calendar. Come on. I'm getting there. You just bring up calendar. I'm going to have to.
Why don't you start over? There you go.
Okay. Go to this website. Click on calendar.
We're on.
Well, no, because we're live.
No.
I wouldn't bet on it. And you can scroll down through here and you can see, what the calendar is for the commission. All these that you see with the little blue out here on the side are recorded events. And you can click on those and you can begin to listen to that particular meeting. I would encourage you to go to this morning's meeting, 9 o'clock, and you just click on that. And you see the play button come up there. And then you just click on that. And then you can hear that whole meeting, so you'll be informed as to what's going on. So you can hear everybody that talks, and I believe pretty much everybody's identified on that. And you can go back, and if you happen to know something happened on a certain day, you can pull up that one and you can look at it. If you want to go back and listen to our meetings, you click on there.
How long are those stored for? Do you have any idea?
Perpetuity.
Perpetuity. Okay.
So that's
a long time.
So you can go back.
Yeah, you can go. Well, they started doing that about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And everything. So you can go back about 2 years and you can begin to listen. But that's a great little tool, especially, if you look at their agenda, you see what's on there and you want to hear something. Or if you want to review one of our meetings, you can go back and do that. So it's a great tool to have. So.
Okay. Anything else for the good of the organization? Anybody want to make a motion to adjourn?
So move.
I'll beat you.
Meeting.
I'll beat you.